KPBS On Demand is supported by Toyota. On a journey toward an electrified future with more options in their lineup of electrified vehicles, offering a choice of powertrain that gives Toyota electric vehicles a balance of power and efficiency. To learn more, visit toyota.com. Toyota, let's go places.
There are lots of challengers, lots of money, and just one incumbent in three races for the San Diego County Board of Supervisors. We look at the election and what's at stake for the 3.5 million of us who live in San Diego County. I'm Jade Hindman. The KPBS Roundtable starts now.
KPBS On Demand is supported by San Diego Opera, presenting Madama Butterfly, Puccini's timeless tale of betrayal and tragedy, featuring an all-star cast and the San Diego Symphony. Two performances, April 26th and 28th, at the Civic Theater. Tickets at sdopera.org.
Welcome to our discussion of the week's top stories. I'm Jade Hindman in for Mark Sauer. And joining me at the KPBS Roundtable today are Chris Genowine from The Times of San Diego, Steve Walsh of KPBS News, and Charles Clark from the San Diego Union-Tribune. Welcome to all of you.
Thanks. Good to be here.
So just five people make up the San Diego County Board of Supervisors. They are responsible for a budget of almost $6.5 billion for public health, mental health, fire and police, transportation, parks, libraries, and a whole lot more. The board was essentially the same for decades. Four or five Republicans, many there for years, joined occasionally by one Democrat. But term limits passed overwhelmingly in 2010 are changing the board's political makeup. Three seats are on the ballot this year, starting with District 1. Chris, you know, tell us, where is District 1? What are the demographics and what are the politics?
Well, it starts in Point Loma and downtown San Diego and stretches along the coast down to the border and then to the east to Otay Mountain. It is a largely Hispanic area. It has the highest percentage of Hispanic residents. It completely encompasses the cities of Coronado, Imperial Beach, National City, and of course Chula Vista. It's really the passing of an era there, because Greg Cox has represented the district as supervisor for a quarter of a century. That seems an immense amount of time for any elected official to hold office. And during that period, his wife Cheryl was mayor of Chula Vista. So the Cox name has had is a very well-known one, and the Coxes have had a big impact on that area. It's also a race that's been in turmoil. Early on, David Alvarez, the former city council member, was perceived to be the front runner. He announced his candidacy, was raising money. He then dropped out. Rafael Castellano, the port commissioner and former candidate for San Diego city attorney, has then became sort of the impromptu or the front runner for all intents and purposes. And then we had a late entrant with a lot of name recognition, Ben Hueso, state senator. He is not termed out. He could stay as state senator another 2 years to the end of 2022, but he's looking at this as an interesting challenge. And also very well known, Nora Vargas, who is the board chair for the Southwestern Community College District.
Mm-hmm. And you mentioned Greg Cox, who is termed out. He's held the seat for 20 years. What was his tenure like, and where were his accomplishments made there?
He really put a lot of effort into economic development, also recreation and park development. One of the reasons there's the large parks in that area is, I think, due to his efforts. He is a Republican, but perceived very much as a moderate Republican, and interestingly has voted with Nathan Fletcher over the last year on a number of key issues that have affected the county as a whole. The district is going to go Democratic, because all the candidates are Democrats, although it's nominally nonpartisan. But in some ways, he's already sort of made that move with his moderate approach.
So what are the big issues in the district?
Big issue right now, of course, is the sewage from Tijuana. But one of the things that is part of the USMCA agreement is some money to really attack that issue. You know, we've had beach closures almost all the way up to Coronado many times. The Navy has had some concerns about the seals practicing in the surf out there. That's a big issue. Nora Vargas has raised health care. You know, our is that part of San Diego County getting the right kinds of services? And then there is, it's on the border. So there are issues about immigration and trade that come up from time to time.
Mm. And we have a couple of clips of candidates talking about the issues that they are actually concerned about. Here's Rafael Castellanos talking about enrollment in county programs.
We need to prioritize this in the budget, and that really comes down to making sure that we have the right number of people, that they're not burnt out, that they're properly staffed, working on helping to enroll people into these programs.
You know what, Charles, it sounds like he feels South County is not being treated fairly by the county. Is that true?
I mean, that's absolutely the sense that you get from people out there, and I think most of the candidates, they kind of attest to it, that they have this sense of being kind of the forgotten ones in a lot of the shuffle that goes on with the county. So, that's definitely a high priority issue that you're coming up.
Sure. You know, now here's we've got a clip here from Nora Vargas, who is more concerned about air pollution than she is that sewage flowing up from Tijuana. Take a listen.
Make more people out of their cars, but we can't do that unless we have better transportation, right? We have to make sure that we create initiatives. Like, I really do believe that everybody should be able to ride a bus for free.
Yeah, there's a thought. Free bus rides. I know some places like Kansas City have done that, and it's been tossed around.
NPS is considering it. It's also on the another thing under consideration is the new is a new purple line from the border into Kearney Mesa. But lately, I've been hearing that there's perhaps more interest in free bus than building another trolley line.
Interesting. Now, you know, we don't have a clip from the third candidate, Ben Hueso, because he declined to speak to us. Charles, do we know why he is making the jump to local government? I mean, he's not termed out of state yet.
You know, to be honest, it's not absolutely clear. I have to say, of all the candidates running, he's been the one who's been, I think we can all comfortably say, the least aggressive, certainly compared to Rafael and Nora. I would venture a guess that part of it, I would think, is that, you know, out in the state assembly, you're one small fish in a very, very big pond, where if one of five supervisors, you can make a much bigger impact.
And it's also not clear what his next step would be if he stays at the state Senate. I mean, does he go for one of the posts like secretary or something like that, insurance commissioner? Probably not. And maybe he sees a future here. He's a very interesting guy. He's a history buff. He was a volunteer in building the replica of the San Salvador for the Maritime Museum. Castellanos, a very interesting background as well. Son of immigrants, first in his family to go to college. He went to the Arizona State, but then got a scholarship to the University of Chicago to study law. That's where he earned his degree. He studied under, of all people, Barack Obama.
And you know, I'm hearing a lot about pollution. Is there a candidate that is talking about collaboration across the border to address some of the environmental concerns in this race?
Well, Vargas has certainly said that diplomacy may be the best way to proceed on this. On the other hand, Castellanos, because of his involvement as a port commissioner, has been active in things like that as well. Because the port being a government agency that has responsibility across many cities and with the Navy, he certainly looks at that approach as well.
Hmm. And, you know, Chris, issues like air pollution, as we mentioned, water pollution, health care, are all concerns for voters in the district. Senator Hueso spent a lot of energy to put together a bill that many say would make it more difficult for people to access records about these things. Do you think that that is something that struck the right tone, something that voters of D1 need? Has it impacted his support?
Well, it's complex. So if you're a political wonk, if you're someone like me who's really fascinated with this stuff, yeah, it's a negative. I'm not sure that translates across the district when it comes to actual voting. I mean, right now, the two names you're going to hear the most are, I think most of us would agree, would be Castellanos and Hueso, mm-hmm. To a lesser extent, Vargas.
And when we're talking about support, let's talk campaign money. It's been rolling in this race, right?
Oh, yeah. It's been coming in, you know, awfully heavy, especially over the past year here, even a little bit before that. Rafael has overwhelmingly led the pack, generating about, $350,000 just in the course of the past year. He's actually followed by Vargas, who's outraised Hueso to this point, which I think is more of a testament to also Hueso not really aggressively campaigning, but she's raised about $220,000. He's closely behind at about $210,000.
Yeah, and first of all, this figure, it shows funds raised in just the last 6 months. It doesn't indicate how much money each candidate has raised or even has to spend, right?
Correct.
Okay. All right. But yeah, as we can see, District 1, Castellanos taking the lead there. So a lot of money rolling in. What else stands out in this race to you, Chris?
The passing of an era from sort of moderate Republican to more progressive Democrat. And I think the entire Board of Supervisors in this election, this began with Fletcher, and to a certain extent, even with the predecessor of Kristen Gaspar in the third district. But
Dave,
this is really going to be a significant
Dave Roberts.
Change. Dave Roberts.
Mm-hmm.
This is going to be a significant change. We are at very least going to end up with two Democrats and possibly three.
Mm. Any polling yet?
Not that I'm aware of, although the sense I've gotten from talking to people is definitely that, as Chris mentioned, Rafael is considered kind of the guy everyone's expecting to be the top vote getter. I do think it's probably a bit closer with Nora and Ben Hueso than a lot of us probably anticipate, just given she's been really aggressively out in the community, and I've kind of gotten the sense that he's kind of writing his name ID. We'll see if that's effective, especially as she starts to use some of this money here, because what else is she going to do with it if she doesn't pour it in now?
There we go. Something we'll keep an eye on. All right, we'll move on to District 3. You know, unlike District 1, the third supervisorial district has on occasion been represented by a Democrat. 4 years ago, it was Dave Roberts, as we mentioned, who was replaced by Republican Kristen Gaspar. Gaspar ran for Congress and lost, and now is fighting to keep her county seat. Steve, start by telling us about District 3, if you will. Tell me, where is it, and what are the politics like?
Sure. So District 3 runs from Solana Beach up the coast to Encinitas, and then up the 15 from the 8 all the way up to once reliably reliably Republican Escondido. Gaspar won a narrow victory last time around over incumbent Dave Roberts, the Democrat who was involved in a personal scandal. The third district is seen as the real swing vote here. There are five districts up for election. The second is still really heavily Republican. The first district is now leans very heavily Democratic. So then the third becomes kind of the swing district here. Also, Gaspar is the only incumbent here. But even the third district is starting to lean Democratic. Overall, if you look at voter registration, there are, 130,000 registered Democrats to 105 registered Republicans. Even in Escondido, which is the most Republican-leaning community in the entire district, Democrats still hold a 1,000 vote advantage over Republicans. And it also has a large growing Latino population, which is indicative of the district.
Sure, definitely a shift there. Tell me a little bit more about those who are challenging Kristen for her seat.
All right, so we have Olga Diaz. She's the first Latina elected to the Escondido City Council. She's been on the council for 12 years. She's also the interim dean of counseling at the Palomar Community College. And then we have Tara Lawson Reamer. She's a professor at UC San Diego. She's an economist and former member of the Obama administration. And she founded the Flip the 49th campaign, which is what led to Mike Levin taking over in that district in the last time around. But this is the first time she would actually be running herself for office.
And, there's this shift that you alluded to earlier happening in District 3. It used to be reliably Republican. That's not the case in places like Escondido. Why is that not the case anymore? What's happening?
Again, so demographically, we're seeing a large Latino population. At one point, Escondido was a farm community. And then over the years, people searched for more less expensive housing, they moved toward that third district. So now it's this thriving, essentially bedroom community, highly developed and increasingly Democratic.
Also interesting to note, the San Diego County Democratic Party has said the District 3 race is the most important race in the 2020 because they want Democratic control on the Board of Supervisors. The party, however, did not make an endorsement in this race for the primary. How are the two Democrats, at least, differentiating themselves?
So neither candidate received enough votes to receive the actual endorsement of the party. You know, some of this is just a matter of degree. Now, each supports doing more to stem the county's homeless population. We have some 8,000 homeless people in San Diego County. The county has been accused of not doing enough to dip into its reserves to help that problem. And both would be more aggressive on climate change. San Diego's counties, their climate action plan has been challenged in court more than once at this point.
And you know, Gaspar may have developed some negatives over the last several years. Key among them, two appearances in Washington with President Trump to promote his immigration stance. And you know, the video, still images of her sitting at a table with Trump and rural sheriffs, I don't think that goes over very well with the coastal community. Might work a little bit better in Escondido, but I think that's going to be a negative for her.
Mm-hmm. And so then that puts the two Democrats at the forefront. Here is a clip from Olga Diaz talking about her priorities. Take a listen.
Three things that have resonated in this campaign have been solving homelessness, chronic homelessness. I want to work on that. Climate change. The county has a climate action plan that has been legally deficient twice in court. It's been thrown out. We really need to overhaul our climate action plan to meet greenhouse gas emission standards. And housing in general.
And then let's hear from Tara Lawson Reamer. She's talking about her number one priority, which is climate change. Let's take a listen.
I believe that we should be at the forefront with a bold climate action plan that is the best in the country, maybe the best in the world, that we should be leading the charge on that and not chasing our tails, and certainly not paying out taxpayer money to do nothing, which is what we've been doing so far.
So, you know, you hear it, homelessness, housing, climate change, they seem to be the focus for the candidates. You know, are their approaches to addressing these chronic issues different from each other, or do they parallel?
Well, you know, some of it is a question of degree. Olga Diaz wants to facilitate development in urban areas by streamlining the approval process for housing and maybe even identify public parcels that can be used for affordable housing. She wants to encourage large-scale employers to build housing for its own their own employees. She said she wants to make Escondido's climate change plan the most ambitious in the region. And on homelessness, she wants to she favors adding emergency beds and expanding social services. Now, Tara Lawson Reamer, again, as you saw in the clip, she wants the county to have basically the gold standard of climate change plans. Some of the ideas include building more affordable housing near public transit. And then any carbon offsets that are required of developers, she wants those projects done inside of San Diego County. And on homelessness, she wants to decriminalize homelessness by trying to divert more people away from the county jail into social services.
Hmm. Now, Chris, any idea whether Gaspar's losing race for Congress against Mike Levin 2 years ago hurt her? I mean, she'd only been on the Board of Supervisors for 2 years at that point.
I think people were surprised that she made she entered that race. And in the end, she was one of four pretty well-known Republicans. Of course, there was Diane Harkey, who came closest to among the Republicans. There was Rocky Chavez, very well-known in the area. And then Brian Mayotte, I'm mispronouncing the name, who's the mayor of San Juan Capistrano and is running again against Mike Levin. I don't think that hurt her. I think if anything, it just caused puzzlement. I do think her support for Trump's immigration policies are certainly going to hurt her with the coastal community.
So you have to imagine that the fact that she didn't actually do very well in that race didn't help her case at all. She didn't come out of that looking like a rock star.
Mm-hmm. Hi, I'm Bill Hoehn.
And I'm Ted Hoehn.
Over the past 50 years, our family has brought many world-class dealerships to Carlsbad, including Mercedes-Benz, Porsche, Audi, Honda, Acura, Jaguar, and Land Rover.
That's right. This year we're celebrating 50 years in Carlsbad.
So on behalf of the entire Hoehn family, we want to thank San Diego. Throughout the years, we've taken tremendous pride in meeting and even exceeding our customers' automotive needs.
We value the relationships with our clients and look forward to serving you for years to come. We invite you to visit one of the Hoehn Carlsbad dealerships or hoehnmotors.com.
That in mind, we are going to move on to District 2. And now to District 2, it spans 2,000 square miles from the southern border north to Julian, from the Imperial County west to San Diego State. Diane Jacob, who, like Greg Cox, is terming out, has held the seat since 1992. Charles, tell me, this is the race you've been closely following. It's a heavily Republican district, so it's no surprise the two top candidates are Poway Mayor Steve Voss and then the former state senator Joel Anderson. But this race has echoes of the 2015 race for this seat, where the local GOP supported Anderson over the incumbent Jacob. What was going on there?
Yeah, so full disclosure, I wasn't here for go of it. But from what I understand, the local GOP kind of got the sense that maybe Diane was on her way out the door and that they could scare her off by putting a huge influx of cash into Joel Anderson's kind of supervisorial account just before we actually passed new laws that put limits on how much you could contribute. The thing was, and I think anyone who knows Diane can attest to this, she very rarely backs down from a fight, if ever. And if anything, she just went on a huge fundraising kick where she raised like $500,000 in just a couple of months to really kind of stamp out any challenge immediately.
Interesting. Chris, what do you remember about that?
Well, she has very much an independent streak. I think people say that of her. And it most recently was visible just in the last week with an endorsement of Barbara Bree for mayor in San Diego. Not an endorsement of Scott Sherman, who's the one Republican who's at the top level in the race. And I think to a certain extent the party perceives her as simply being too independent. Mm. Joel Anderson, though, has had kind of a difficult time also. After he finished in the state Senate, he was looking for a safe position on the Board of Equalization. And everybody thought he was a shoe-in for that. But in fact, it was Mike Schaefer, a city councilman from the 1960s, who is now the oldest constitutional officer in California. Part of the Democratic wave.
Yeah. Now, Voss was endorsed by Jacob Anderson by the county GOP. So what platform is Voss campaigning on right now?
Well, he obviously is huge and instrumental in transit and what transit's going to look like over the next, decade here. He's been the head of SANDAG. He's still very much involved with that. He had his fingerprints all over that whole brouhaha we had over the past few months over it.
Yes.
So that's definitely instrumental. He's also obviously running on his very strong fiscal record in Poway, as well as just frankly, he's got a reputation as someone who's very, very approachable. And I think that goes a long way, especially in that district where Diane Jacob, say what people will about her, she is one of the most approachable, I think, elected officials you'll find. She's always doing coffees with constituents. I think that goes a long way. When you look at Joel Anderson, a lot of what he kind of talked about were, again, roads, obviously huge in East County, but also housing and homelessness. Those were two of the big things he really focused on, at least, since he kicked off his campaign, as well as job creation.
Mm. And of course, Voss hit a snag with the whole fiasco with water in Poway. How has that impacted his support?
So, to be frank, I don't think it's had too much of an impact. I think, given the context of how that came up and how it kind of got amplified as an issue, it definitely had some political trappings to it, mm-hmm. given that there were some Anderson supporters who helped amplify it. Mm-hmm. And also, to be frank, I think that, if he didn't have Diane's support, that might be a bigger issue. I think when you have someone like that who can vouch for your character in that district, one slip up isn't going to be the end of it. Also, lest we forget, he obviously was really showed leadership qualities with the shooting in Poway.
Yeah, that really stood out. I mean, he was almost a national figure for a while because of that. And, he was an extremely reassuring presence. And the people will remember that, and I think in a good way.
No, and then I ended up covering that, and not only reassuring, but a constant presence.
Yeah.
You could find him outside talking to people and then making himself available to reporters around the world.
Right.
And younger voters who remember his music, he's a Grammy-winning country music artist, but focused on children's music.
Right. And even though this is a heavily Republican district, there is a Democrat running, Kenya Taylor. What can you tell me about her?
So Kenya is, mental health or marriage and family therapy counselor. She's had a lot of work in the mental health services. That's a big and kind of the instrumental part of kind of her campaign is focusing on what the county can be doing to deliver more services. She's actually worked with the county and I believe Diane Jacob before on a few different mental health issues. She's also involved with the NAACP. I think the challenge for her, just frankly, is that it didn't seem like the Democratic Party put much effort, if any, into that race. So she's really struggled to raise funds. And I think when you have two really well-known names out there like Steve Voss and Joel Anderson, especially when there's not going to be the party identification on the ballot, they really needed to help her out. And I'm not sure she quite has the means to amplify her message.
Does her candidacy, though, indicate any shift in that district?
I think to a degree. I mean, it's funny because I think everyone just assumes that it's the most conservative district, which I guess demographically it is slightly, but it's a lot more competitive than people realize. I mean, there's about 121,000 registered Democrats and 134,000 registered Republicans. You know, if you ran a candidate out there who had more means and maybe a bit more name ID, I know one of the hypotheticals people like to throw around before he announced he was going for the 50th again was Amar Camp and Najjar, right? Someone who had already campaigned in that area. I think this would get to be a really, really interesting race.
Right.
I just don't know if they have the bench out there to do that.
You know, I'm curious from all of you, you know, there are chronic problems in each district that no district seems to be immune from, whether it's climate change, housing, homelessness. Are you guys hearing anything from any of the candidates that would stand out? Any solutions that would materialize? Or will we be having these same discussions next election cycle?
I think these are very difficult problems. Housing is something that you hear a lot from all of the candidates, and you know, whether it's more infill housing, whether it's whether it's allowing more building in rural areas in opposition to Measure A, that's become such an issue. It's interesting in District 1, Castellanos, of course, is a real estate attorney, and so I think housing will end up being something he looks at as well.
All right. We have to close it out on that. Hey, I sure appreciate it, you guys. That wraps up another week of stories at the KPBS Roundtable. I'd like to thank our guests, Chris Genuine from The Times of San Diego, KPBS reporter Steve Walsh, and Charles Clark from the San Diego Union-Tribune. A reminder, all of the stories we discussed today are available on our website, kpbs.org. I'm Jade Hindman in for Mark Sauer. Thanks for joining us today on The Roundtable.
KPBS On Demand is supported by UC San Diego Art Power, presenting Queen Nation, a live 90-minute production of Queen's greatest hits that preserves the stage persona of vintage Queen on April 27th at the Epstein Family Amphitheater. artpower.ucsd.edu.